Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, this is Jay with Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to do a study today in James chapter 5, and I'm glad that you could join me and my cat, who's trying to stop me from doing what I'm doing now for some strange reason. So here we go with James chapter 5. This will be the last book in James 5. The other four Bible studies are archived and can be found in Blog Talk Radio under my episodes, or if you scroll down on the Facebook on Church of Brotherly Love, you can also find the previous four Bible studies for the book of James. So, James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries, for that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who moved your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Now, this is obviously directed to the rich and those that are involved in the governing of the workforce. And it's a warning because they are exploiting other human beings for their own purposes, and they're reaping the financial benefits of that workforce. Now, that can apply to government as well. Pulling government, getting rich off its citizens, and exploiting them, not keeping their end of the governing bargain, and just making money and not helping those that are employed by them or citizens of this country or any country and a government that could be exploiting their people. So your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who moved your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord Sabbath. So their riches are gathering corrosion because they're being held into themselves. They're not being put into circulation. They're not being shared, you know, fairly with the workers. And that corrosion, that loss of wealth, the loss of the value of the coin will be a witness against them. Verse 5. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So this is a shift from those that live off in luxury, off the money and efforts of others, and that are living, well, fattened off of our finances or the poor man's efforts, and that is a murderous thing that he does. And basically, the citizen does not resist. The employee does not resist. We just kind of go along with the program. And so we're instructed to be patient until the coming of the Lord. And the Lord will straighten this whole thing out. As we trust in him, we're also instructed to establish our hearts in the Lord, and that means to take the position of our crucifixion, burial, and resurrection with Christ at his cross, the old man dead, the new man, which is the body of Christ, established, and we take that position. How do we know we have taken the position? Because we do not grumble against one another. We have compassion and mercy towards one another, and we allow the Lord to be the judge of others' actions. It's not our place to be the judge. Verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is there anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is there anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now we look at the story of Job as an example. Good times and bad times, and of course God blessed him with more than he had ever had before he went through his hard times, and the Lord had compassion on him. We're also instructed not to swear by anything in earth, or with any type of an oath, but let our yes be yes, and our no be no. So to live simply and not to exaggerate ourselves as we're established in the Lord, we're given that instruction to establish ourselves in the Lord, and to not exaggerate beyond what God has already done for us. So just let our no be no and our yes be yes. And if anyone's suffering, if you're suffering, if I'm suffering, we pray. And if anyone is cheerful, we sing songs unto the Lord. If any is sick, we call on the elders of the church, and we let them pray for them and anoint them with oil. Now, in my mind, This is prayer and medicine. The oil is the goggle. It's represented to the Holy Spirit. I also believe that the oil has medicinal purposes. In other words, if someone is sick, pray and treat. Pray for them and treat them. And the power of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And he has if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Now, you think about people that are, maybe on their deathbed, or, it's just obvious that, we've done everything that we can for them, and they're not going to, they're going to be with the Lord. Well, we can pray for them that the Lord will save him and raise this man or woman that is passing. He'll raise him up. That's an appropriate prayer. And it's not so much the focus on the physical, I believe, but it's on the spiritual. Now, the physical is temporary. We're all going to die. So this scripture, taken in that literal sense, to pray for the sick, and they'll be healed in the physical. If that was the case, no one would ever die of any illness ever. But I believe that this is directed towards the spiritual. And then on to verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the Lord heaven gave rain. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from their error, from the error of his way, will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So we can confess our trespasses to one another. It's biblical. Especially if our trespass is upon that other. We can pray for one another that we can be healed. Not so much physical, but in the spiritual realm. And Elijah prayed for no rain. There was no rain for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed for rain, and then there was rain for 3 years. But he was a man that was just like us, with a nature like ours. And if any one of us wander from the truth, we are instructed to turn that person back. And by doing so, we turn him away from the error of his way, and we could save him from death. And there it is, James chapter 5. Thank you for joining me in the study today. May God bless you, and you have a great day. Until next time, this is Jay out.